Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's Buddhist and Butterfly session. We are still in houses 5 and 6. We are working with transformation of worry into its natural, healthy role, which is that of clarity versus confusion. Confusion, I can't remember if I've talked about this recently or not. In etymology, literally means in Spanish to be with fusion, meaning something's fused tightly together. And kind of like really tangled Christmas lights or fairy lights, or like a necklace that got really knotted up, it needs a little bit of patience and time, space to just separate out things just enough so you can begin to pull that thread and to pull it on out of its locked up tangles. So think of this as releasing any enmeshments, entanglements, any things that were just overly smushed, to use a fancy word, together. And to give it just a little bit of breathing room. That typically happens by means of slowing way down. So I invite you to do that right now. I invite you to stop whatever you were doing before you got here. This is very advanced level stuff, by the way. To stop whatever you were doing before you ever showed up here. Calling your energy back from wherever you were before. And just simply connect to the breath, like it's the very first breath you've ever taken. Breathing in, drinking in life, letting yourself steep in what it is to be alive. And every exhale, releasing, surrendering, making space and allowing life to flow through you even more. And as you breathe here, calling to mind your intention for this session, and placing your awareness in it, giving it your attention. Slowing way down, and just simply calling to mind what you're curious to explore today for yourselves. This isn't mine to give you, this is yours to find within yourself, which happens by means of giving yourself space. So breathing, slowing down, going even turtle speed, half speed of where you're at right now. And then going half speed again. Every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, giving it a momentary acknowledgement by means of savoring it, recognizing it, letting yourself steepen it, and slowing down, slowing way down to drink it in to your body, feeling this in your body. Spirituality, spirit, energy work, it happens in the body. So notice the body. Where is your attention right now? If your intentions live inside of you, because they do, where are you in your body? What does it feel like in this part of your body? Give it sensory awareness. Body talk people are good at this, mindscapers are good at this. Better than my average population that I see if they aren't coming to me from this background. Become like a wine taster. Is there a sound, taste, smell? What's here? And just let yourself be with it. Nothing you need to do, change, fix, manage. You've done enough of that. Just letting yourself simply rest here and be amongst it, be with it. In the same way that you don't want to be fixed, changed, or managed, neither does this part of you. So as you let yourself continue to rest here, to slow down, to be here, be amongst all of this, it may have intensity. Rest might be not quite the word that applies for some of you. And that's okay too, as long as you've got space to be here with it, staying with it. And for those of you who might want a little extra support, I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, turn your attention now. Even if you don't want any extra support, this will be juicy and useful. Good training for our brains. Turning your awareness to either your outer or your inner world and beginning to scan. Let your senses go for a bit of a wander throughout your space here. My dog is sticking in the blankets. I'm not sure if you're picking that up on the mic or not. It looks like he might be. And as you continue to dig through your sensory environment, internal or external, I'm going to invite you to slowly let the senses linger here and drink in the things that are beautiful, easeful, the things that feel nourishing, the things that feel alive, things that feel like, juicy to be with. And then let yourself ultimately pause on one thing. Pausing on one thing. Let yourself drink that in, noticing what it is you like the most about this place where you have your attention. There might be a few qualities that stand out. And then let yourself savor here. Let yourself savor here. Like you're drinking in that really special treat that you save, like that really high-end chocolate, the luxury thing that you have specially in the, fridge or cupboard, wherever you keep it. And letting yourself really, revel in it. Essentially roll around in the deliciousness of it, or the neutrality of it. And as you stay with that, I'm going to offer these words. So again, you're breathing, you're slowing way down, you're savoring. And amongst that all, you've got your attention and your intentions. Creator, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. And thank you to all of our helpers, seen and unseen, who gather here with us. Thank you for holding this space safe and sacred with reverence and care, nourishing us, protecting us, guiding us. We ask for the highest journey available in grace today. And we give thanks to the earth that nourishes us and holds us. The sky above giving us space to soar, to rise, to explore its vastness of this system at a cosmic consciousness level, at a primordial fluid level. And thank you to that water that goes to our very essence, our core, carrying our fluidity, our primal essence of our emotions, our consciousness. Thank you to the fire that carries it to the very edges of the unseen realm and helps us to connect to that which is beyond the known. Thank you for being here exactly as you are and calling this medicine in. May this be of service to you, your ancestors, your family lineage, and to each and every one of those that you call family. May it be of greater service to the world in ways that we may never even come to know. And may its seed carry all that it needs to blossom at exactly the right time in your awareness, whenever that may unfold. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. And as you continue to savor, breathe, Focusing your awareness and your intention. Feel your body. Notice where you are now inside of it. What does that seem to feel like, be like? Every time I tune in to figure out where we're starting, it's jumping back and forth between like six different houses, and they're all just like on a Rolodex. They're all just like spinning around. I'm just gonna let them do that for a moment. It's actually speaking to the energy of like confusion. Got it. Confusion as to new beginnings, confusion as to new starts, confusion as to where do I begin here? You know, there is often that confusion in new beginnings that arises before the beginning even really seems to be here, while we're still in the process of something ending. It's like we can't fully let that end until we know where it's supposed to begin. So there's confusion upon, is this a beginning and ending, as well as mixed in here. And all of it's creating a bit of a disorientation in terms of like, where is this all coming from? And the system trying to process so many angles at once, it's getting jammed up. It's trying to do too many things at once. Not that any of us here have ever done that or felt that way before, right? I want to say I'm the queen of that. I should have both my hands and my feet up here. And amongst all of that, it's actually going to the age of five, which for many of us is a time of transition into school age and school years. And it's working with whatever was sort of new for you around that all. So assuming it was school, there's this like sense of having to consolidate into some level of conformity. And there's a sense of like being sort of smushed and squashed and not having your individuality be fully welcome. There's a sense of regimentation. What does Pink Floyd call it? Another brick in the wall? There's like a sense of this being like the very first time you're experiencing it in this way. When a place, in a place that's outside of family. And it's like strangers get to decide who I am. It's not even people you know anymore. It's like brand new people. Strangers get to decide who I am. And that sense of powerlessness, choicelessness, the sense of confusion amongst why would that ever even be a possibility? And then over time, gradually it's somehow becoming accepted as normal. And the system actually becoming confused when that's not happening. The system being confused when there isn't a level of authenticity. The system getting really agitated when it actually isn't held in or bound, conformed to all the rules that were rigidly holding it in place to begin with. In the sense of, I don't know who I am, I don't know what to do if someone isn't telling me who I am and what to do. And then that showing up in plentitude, with conflicts with the folks around you in your life to give you that same guidance or information that you've been looking for because that was your familiar standpoint that you learned at five. So now we get to update that because you're not five anymore. And I'm betting that five-year-old doesn't actually want to, your internal five-year-old, your inner five-year-old doesn't actually want to be holding that energy anymore. That's a really big job for someone who's five. And then in turn, your external environment doesn't have to reflect that to you in your relationships, in how it is your face is dealing with whatever you're facing forward into. Whether there's a sense of bodily restriction through upper body, lower body. Whether it's just a sense of like, I am so fucking burnt out. It's like all of these circumstances are dictating your sense of self. Because some part of you thinks that that's actually what needs to be here in order for you to survive, to exist, to be safe enough to be alive. It's interesting. I don't do this very often, but we're linking this into every one of the seven chakras. We're doing them in a paired sequence way. So first, we're linking them to simultaneously both base, bottom, most chakra, or root as they sometimes call it, and crown. Then into the sexual or sacral, as it's often called, and the brow simultaneously. And then again, simultaneously into solar plexus and throat chakras. And then into the very center, the heart chakra. And we're actually using this to actually purge through all seven chakras to release the essence of concern. And a part of you that learned to be concerned about this, that was trying to protect you from the first place, got overridden a lot throughout your entire schooling. And likely in other areas too. As we work with that sense of override that got normalized, and the part of you that got concerned getting told, you're kind of irrelevant here, just shh, we're going to throw you into the basement and actually not look at you anymore. The part of you that held the level of worry, that anxiety, was told it actually shouldn't be here. It's kind of like some sort of a monster. Fun fact. You know that I love etymology. The word monster, it actually comes from two roots. Monstrer, to show, and moner, to warn. So literally whatever we've thrown into the basement of our being, known as our subconscious or unconscious, whatever you want to call it, I'm not here to split that hair. It's something that is actually trying to show you what's hiding. It's the warning cry. And we threw it down there because there was a sense of like, that's too much for me to hold right now. That's too raw, that's too tender, that's too loud, that's too not enough. This is what Jung would refer to as the gold in the shadow. And the only thing it can do is, like Jung also says, it'll direct your life and you'll call it fate. It's like, wow, that's just what happened. Yeah. Because they communicate through warning signals that you call disease or sabotage. It's information trying to tell you something that we just don't know what it is until we actually turn to listen to it. So I'm going to invite you to be the buffalo. You know the buffalo? I'm from the prairies in Canada. So the buffalo, they are one of the few animals that don't seek shelter when there's a storm. In fact, they turn towards the storm and they head into it so it'll pass faster. You get to be the buffalo here. As you do so, you're going to face, usually the first emotion here is some sense of shame. It stands in the doorway that the treasure is behind, that the shadow is guarding. And we're actually releasing the familiar habit pattern of denying this part that's concerned. The habit pattern of turning away. And in turn, releasing the cycle that we have usually called in to continually repeat itself until it fully gets felt and seen and learned from. And whatever that is, usually speaks in some level of pain that you're already in and feeling to some degree. It might be numbed a little bit, but it's still here to some degree. So just like the buffalo, turning into that too, and letting the emotions that you don't want to feel, like shame, the pain in the body, however it's held, emotional, physical, mental, spiritual, and allow it to be felt. We're linking that all into the liver meridian. The liver meridian is the big mamba jamba that surrounds us from the very tip of our toe, big toe, the very crown of our head. It's the mother that holds us. And you know, they say, like that expression that's coming to mind here, the face only a mother can love. So whatever this monstrous thing is that's in, you know, our system, whatever it seems to look like, whatever its face seems to be like, know that it can be met by the love of mother, by a mother's love, which is the fiercest thing I know on the planet. And even if it didn't come through your mom, it came through somewhere. You wouldn't be alive without it. And you wouldn't know what that means. But when I say those words, it would sound like I was speaking another language altogether. There's some part of you that knows what that is. It learned it somewhere. From your mom, from nature, from an animal, from, it could actually be a male person. That essence of maternal love that says, I will fiercely love you. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you sound like. I don't care what you seem to be like. And through the liver, offering that essence of fierce maternal love, the monster begins to become our guide. The part of you that was concerned begins to allow you to receive information that you weren't able to before. It gives you ongoing warning information of what's right for you, what's going to be in alignment with you, what's going to be authentically yours to claim and move through and express. And just like maternal love gives space to let the expression of whatever that child seems to be like, we're going to give this space, this energy of concern, of worry, of anxiety, to have some space. We're going to show up here. We might even be able to love it if that's possible. And as a teacher of mine says, we show up, we love, we have faith. What else can we do? Okay, then that liver meridian, much like a mother, begins to hold this child even tighter, even more ferociously. And it lets the worry be transformed all the way through, that anxiety, that concern all the way through, until there is simple crystal clearness, clarity, particularly linked to the entire skull. And as we do that through the cerebrospinal fluid that goes through the area around the brain and around the spinal cord that gives nourishment, that gives protection, we're unhooking another part of you that this concern was protecting, a part of you that was actually formed right after you were born, a part of you that learns how to attune to your relational environment based on how it is you were welcomed in the world. I don't know what that is. You probably don't know either, but we're here to explore and see what shows up in our body. Only your system can communicate this information to you. And it won't do it in words. It'll sometimes do it in images, feelings, sensations, colors. So whatever your sense, your felt sense is here, I'm going to invite you just to check that out and to trust that. This part of you that was formed before words, before concepts, the part of you that is written into the very skin. It's like scripture through your system, interwoven through the essence of the form of your body. However you were met when you were born begins the very foundation of how you relate and how your relationships, how the people around you seem to be on a regular basis. My birth story is just an example. This might not be your birth story, as we all have different ones. But mine was met with a certain level of horror. I was a very big surprise when I was born. I was born with a cleft lip and palate, meaning the roof of my lip, roof of my mouth and my lip, pardon me, and into my nose a little bit were split wide open. And it got sewn up through different surgeries over time. And all of this was quite the shock, because there's not a lot of babies that are born this way. So your average nurse, which I was born to, not a doctor, doesn't see maybe more than one or two in their entire career if they deliver babies for that long. And it's not a familiar thing that a lot of people know about. So there was surprise, shock, and horror, which created some things. I've had some challenges in relationships in this lifetime. Yeah, so just as an example to point to the picture of what this looks like. Yeah. And that's been repatterned, it's been met, it's been fiercely loved and held. And it continues to unfold. Still a work in progress, still a human here too. And I'm curious what the resonance of your story seems to be like, even if you're not sure what it is. It's held in your cerebrospinal fluid. And as you work with it, we're actually going to connect it to the element of water, which governs all of your fluids, connect you to your entire ancestral lineage and how not just you were met, but how your mom, your dad were met in their births, how their parents were met in their births. And it goes back and forth through both generations, up to five minimum, likely seven or beyond generations worth of how were you greeted? How were your parents, your ancestors greeted? Now, that's juicy territory. There's a lot of information here. The sun's just starting to get dark here. It's a dark day. I'm gonna see if I can give just a little bit of background light here. See if that helps just a little bit. Might stabilize this for the rest of the session. Yeah. And then, as we work with this through the generations, through the entire elements of water, through the information that says, how do I belong here? How do I get to be at ease or not in my connections, in my intimate connections? How do I relate to intimacy? The Rolodex thing is happening again. I'm just going to give it a second. It's slower this time. And it's working with the behavior of trying to take in too many pieces of information at once. And the behavior pattern of confusion around getting your wires crossed because you're trying to take in too many points of view at once. There's confusion because you're actually trying to juggle what other people say you or should be experiencing versus what you're actually experiencing. So only you can tell. Only you can tell by means of feeling in this body. So we're connecting it to the sense of touch. And we're connecting it to the other senses after that in order of sights, smell, sounds, taste, and then intuition. And as we go to intuition, there's a defragging here between your regular two eyes, which are meant to detect your past and your present, and then the third eye, which is meant to connect to your future. And we're releasing the need to see your future through your basic human eyes, your two regular physical eyes. That's what I mean by that. And we're releasing the essence of hypervigilance so the eyes can begin to rest back in the skull. John created a technique in this in Body Talk to a degree. He called it Bebo's technique. Those of you who have done modules 4-7, you're likely aware of it. And, whoops, now that light got a little bit carried away there. The technique is actually meant to let the eyeball be met by a couple of fingers, while you also hold the point where the skull meets the spine in the very center of the back of the neck. It's an acupuncture point, by the way, known as the jade pillow in Taoism back there. And it's where the body mind rests and the soul takes flight. And as you hold the back of the skull and spine, you gently press down on one eye until it begins to soften into the back of the skull, or towards that direction. And then you rinse and you repeat and do that on the other eye. And you, same thing, cushion it and let it be held. So as the system, in essence, begins to let the eyes rest by means of releasing the need to use the regular two eyes to try to predict the future out of hypervigilance, out of concern, out of anxiety, out of worry. We're actually releasing it from, I forget the fancy name, I think it's lacrimal fluid, but the fluid that bathes the eyes, as well as from the saliva, interestingly enough. And then whatever it is that lines the nostrils, there's not like a fluid, but there's some sort of specialized connective tissue. Again, I forget the name of it, but the internal lining of the nostrils. And we're through these various things, the eye fluid, the saliva, the internal lining of the nostrils, releasing the emotion of grief, the sense of losing our connection to our awareness when we're born, potentially in the womb state, as I like to theorize, of connection to the truth, the essence of oneness, in a way that's consciously unconscious. Yeah. And then over time, the human journey is before you can become consciously conscious, you have to become someone. You have to take on identity of who you were told to be. So we're working with the grief around that, the pain that comes with that, the severing of that connection. And how you got connected to your parents, how you were met at birth, also determines how you're connecting to the truth of your true essence and becoming consciously conscious as an individual, as a sovereign individual, connected to the unified field. Okay. At the same time as all of this, we're running a defrag in your wood element through your liver, through your gallbladder. The liver and gallbladder work with basically, action planning, implementation of decisions that were made. And there's a sense here of stagnation, a sense here of indecisiveness, a sense here of being frozen or stuck and not knowing which way to go and what to do. And as we do that, we're releasing sadness, but at the same time, around having to overcompensate, like having to prove who it is you are. Having to prove your worth to somebody else, having to prove that you're not the one that's doing that to them. Prove the role that you play in their life is important enough for them to accept you, to approve of you. Yeah, to seek approval. We're all kind of approval addicts in one way or another. And then as we do that, it's also simultaneously coming out of the liver and gallbladder as well as the endocrine system. The liver has a really distinct crossover to your hormones. And if your liver is in balance, your gallbladder is in balance as well, there tends to be easy relationship to hormonal changes. Anybody else in perimenopause? I know I am. Yeah, so maybe this is for me too. Even if you're not in perimenopause, it's working with the hormones. Maybe you're going through other hormonal changes right now. We're linking that into the Rolodex thing was happening, but much slower. It just did one rotation. And it landed on house three. House three is the house of the stomach, the intellect, the area where we digest our world. We create our capacity for original expression based on how it is our left brain is digesting information. And how easily can we, in turn, express the left brain information that we've received? And we're working here with a hormonal impact on that. And if you've been through hormonal changes, you know that that can take your brain for a ride. And it's actually, to a degree, supposed to do that. It's meant to create a little bit of chaos here. It's meant to create a little bit of breakdown. You've heard me speak to this before. I won't belabor the point too long this time. There's the idea that the dissolution is necessary for nourishment to be absorbed. It doesn't necessarily make sense. You don't have to like it. That would be weird. Really weird. Masochistic. Yeah, well, unless you're into that sort of thing. I'm not here to judge your sexual proclivities. And the idea is that there's this sense of confusion here, that this isn't supposed to be happening, that you're not actually supposed to go through times where your left brain is going through a bit of a defrag. This happens all the time in nature, in your human development. There's big times where your hormones are shifting, puberty, this happens. There's a massive shedding of neurons. When you are coming to adult life, somewhere between 21 to 24, based on if you're estrogen or testosterone-laden beings, there's another purge. When you go into, I'm going to suggest pregnancy, there's a purge that's happening to prep the maternal brain for this child and for the information that's stored in your system around it all. Because anytime we have a kid, we're actually processing all those things at the same ages that those kid is. So if you have a 3-year-old, you're processing all the same stuff that 3-year-old is processing. And it's helping to connect you to that as the hormones begin to create this purging through the brain. Happens in menopause, yeah? Now, I don't necessarily like this either. I love being able to find my words when I want to find them. But there's a sense here of you're actually not supposed to take certain concepts, ideologies forward anymore. Who are you going to be in cronehood? How are you going to show up as an elder? How are you going to show up to give? If you even land there, I'm going to suggest many people don't. It doesn't happen just because of age. It happens with maturity. You can go through the physical transformation all you like, and you can maybe not purge very much. This time, it's a time of reckoning, and it's a time of reconciliation. And you're supposed to have space to slow down, to be with that all. I'm mostly just preaching to the choir here. And preaching to myself more so is part of me. That's what I'm trying to say. There you go. There's a menopause slip right there. But yeah, I'm just trying to preach to me. Maybe it's relevant to you too. So again, as you work with the breakdown through the third house, it's actually creating a whole level of being able to nourish you if you can stay with the breakdown process, if you've got space, if you can go slow enough to feel it in your body, to tolerate it. The more you can welcome it and be amongst it, the more it can continue to move through you. It's not to be fixed, changed, managed, sought after a healing session, body talked away. It's supposed to be welcomed by your system. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. And interestingly enough, we're linking this to your permissions. It's kind of working with that buffalo thing of turning into the storm. And the words here are, I have space to welcome what's uncomfortable. I have space to welcome what's uncomfortable. I have space to welcome what's uncomfortable. Now we're linking that into the gallbladder, which is meant to assimilate all the external input out there. But it doesn't mean you need to change your identity or modify yourself. It's just meant to process information without you having to, anybody else, a people pleaser, shapeshifter, know what that means? To sort of wrap or pretzel yourself around it. But to honor how it is you want to walk through that all? What is it to find your internal authority? And with that, we're bringing in the authoritarian Saturn energy, which is very much connected to, this is kind of fun, the middle finger. It's the dismay of all the rebel anarchists out there. The middle finger is meant to connect us to our inner authoritarian that says, I don't bow to any other thought process out there other than my own, and I hold it with ease. I know what I think about that. I know how I feel about that. And whatever you have to offer me about it, interesting. And I'll decide for myself what I want to take in. Saturn shows up connected to the gallbladder and connected to the hormones, so no surprise that it's here. It's connected to the triple heater meridian, which governs our endocrine system, which governs our hormones. If you're wondering about how the connection works there. So Saturn energy here, gallbladder energy here. Releasing parasites with body chemistry through the gallbladder and its meridian, which is more the parasite of having to be the people pleaser, shapeshifter, pretzeler to meet or lose your own authority based on the people around you. And that often happens by them being really angry at you and you going, okay, then I'll do whatever it is you want. Yeah? Or you not using your own anger to hold that cleanly, to hold your own fire. Oh, as soon as I say that, it's linking into your fire element. There's a sense here of disintegration, a sense of loss of that. So we're actually going to run a defrag, and then we're going to run a cedri on your fire element as a whole. Your fire element is what connects you to your sovereignty, your internal authority, and lights you up cohesively. Okay, so defragging first, then a cedri, which also includes another defrag. So the defrag is much like that computer clean, that spring clean. And we're going to take out all the pieces that no longer need to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. It's kind of like the neuronal purge that happens in menopause or hormonal changes of any sorts. I just talk about menopause a lot right now. And then we're going to run circulation. We're going to run it through that gallbladder as well as through the fire elements. Bring in circulation of blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal at all levels, nervous system and immune system alike, in particular, but really all frequencies. So we're balancing the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection. As we do that, we're also going to run hydration, helping the cells to take in water, joy, release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Then we're going to run D for defrag, much like that computer defrag that I just spoke about. We're doing one more of those, and we're doing it on the relationship between the gallbladder and the fire element. Gallbladder belongs to wood, just like in life, wood feeds fire. So it's looking at that relationship of the nourishment of the fire elements. It's going to bring in a better light. There we go. Okay, that's much better. Thanks for your patience with that all. The cord was really stuck on that. I didn't think I could get it, but I did. Alrighty. So, glad that worked out. As we work with this defrag, spring clean, taking out all the clutter that no longer needs to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized, utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Okay, amongst all of that, we're running a permissions. Sometimes all that comes with a little bit of nausea, meaning you're meant to actually digest and be amongst the nausea. Whenever our fire sort of stabilizes into our belly, there's often a sense of like, oh, that can come with it. So whenever there's a balance between fire and gallbladder, that can happen. So if that happens, know that's supposed to be happening, and it's actually going to be supported by the permissions. I can digest this too. I can digest this too. And then we're linking that into the connection between just finding it. Okay, got it. It's in the spine, thoracic 11 vertebrae to lumbar 3 vertebrae. So just the near the bottom of the rib cage into the middle of the low back. And it's giving you that inner spine of authority. And then we're linking that to the heart, which is where the fire essentially gets stabilized. The heart is the Mac Daddy Grand Poobah of the fire elements. It's like the crown of the fire elements. And it's the spine we could think of as like the throne, and the gallbladder, the seat of the throne. So it's helping you to find your sovereign nature and to let yourself rise within that to the crown of fire itself. And as you work with sovereignty here, we're bringing in the consciousness of boundaries. Consciousness of boundaries. And it's going all the way back to sort of where we began-ish. You remember that? The monster, the concern, or the fierce love? The fierce love is actually like of the mother, is actually the same type of energy that's in a boundary. Boundaries get confused all the time. Boundaries are meant to bring in nourishment. They're meant to bring in more of what we do want. They're meant to have a line that says, none of that, but all of this. Thank you. And that can dynamically evolve and change. It's not rigid. It's meant to be fluid. And it's meant to also be fierce. It's meant to be loving. So it's not meant to be defensive. It's not meant to carry a fuck you, prick energy. It's meant to be fierce and loving, and that may or may not get received as such, but it's meant to feel within you as fierce and loving. So it's boundaries don't actually care how they're received by another. They're there to be honored within you and your essence. This part of you that might fear how they're received by others is another part altogether that we've been working with as well. That's the pretzeler, that's the people pleaser. That's the fawn response. If you were there with me through trauma, freed, Buddhas and butterflies, you can go all the way back to just the fawn response. Remember that? Remember those days? Okay. And now the Rolodex is just fully laid open and it's showing a link into all 12 houses. And the Rolodex is at stillness, it's at peace, it's at its most open, receptive, nourishment, welcoming. And nurturing equally, reciprocally so, state. It's got a point of harmony here. It's linked and landed into the element of earth. Alongside of this, if it could speak, it would say these words: it's safe to be here in your body. It's safe to be here in your body. It's safe to be present here in your body. So be here. Be present. Practice presence over any other process. No other process works, quite frankly, without presence. It's the process. It's the only thing there is that's behind, within, intertwined within any technique, any modality, any process. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe, invitation to receive. I'm yawning. Okay, always a good sign. Yawns, they have shown in neuroscience, are a sign of state change. Yeah. Okay, to integrate this, interestingly enough, we're linking the into the eyes. The consciousness of wonder, of awe, of possibility, and linking it through to the navel, consciousness of centeredness within you, within self. All linked to the heart, essence of fierce love. What it is it to fiercely love yourself, the parts of you, especially the ones you don't like. That's the challenge. That's your ongoing forevermore homework, and particularly for this week. You'll probably hear me say it a lot, actually, is to connect with a part of you that you have not so much welcomed before. And just as an experiment, just like check out what happens if you just say, like, hi, sorry, been really, ignoring you. I labeled you as something that wasn't okay. I thought you were kind of judgmental. I thought you were kind of a bitch. I thought you were whatever it is, whatever that part of you is. You don't have to look hard. The people in your environment are reflecting that part back to you. So the things that are pissing you off from the people around you, that's your part. That's the part. You just can't see it in here, so you put it out there. And what is it to actually inside of you? You don't have to engage it with the people around you. I mean, you can. I'm not pointing to that part at all. I'm just pointing to the piece where you welcome that part inside of you and say, like, hi, sorry, I didn't actually, really ever sit down to have a conversation with you before, and I'm wondering what it is, for us to just have a moment to hang out and connect and see what it's like to hold it in fierce love as much as you can. I know that that's a tall order, and I challenge you anyways. Let me know. Would love to hear. Okay. And then we're linking that to the, again, that point, jade pillow, where the skull joins the spine and the center line. Another yawn. Ooh. I'll happily sleep on that jade pillow. Okay, invitation to breathe, to receive, to drink this in. Now, I invite you to connect to your breath, connect to your body. How does it feel? Where do you feel it in your body? What are you present to inside of this body right here, right now? And if you like, you can connect to that resource that you found earlier, the thing that was beautiful, easeful, pleasant, neutral, and invite it on in again if you'd like a little extra support. And amongst that all, I've got a short song here for you. It's called Be Here Now. Seems appropriate given our content for today, by a beautiful chorus. I'll post a link as always into the chat feature as well. So feel free to let this also be nourishment for you, for your soul, for the balm that you may be calling in some way, whether you knew it or not today. Breathing and receiving here.
Be here now.
thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in these ways. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Wishing you all a beautiful week. Happy home caring, home working, home playing, whatever you want to call it. And if you do it and you want to share about it, let me know along with your intentions that you're curious about to explore for yourself next week. Curious how this week also reconciled for you amongst that all. And I heard one person say in the chat feature here that it was everything they didn't have words for. Yeah, you're most welcome, loves, to all of you. And wishing you a beautiful rest of your week. Mwah. Bye for now, loves. If anyone want like extra support afterwards, feel free to hang out. I've got a little bit of time. Okay. Much love. Bye for now.